Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Atlanta, what's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
Hey, man.
That is my man, Chris, back at the studio. We're missing the voice of Mike Bell. He is on his way. If you guys follow the show, you know that he lives down in Coweta County now. And that tornado that hit down there, it's been affecting, obviously, the internet and other things that are going on. We're just glad that, you know, more people are safe and everything turned out as well as it did, considering I think it was a 3 on the scale. Maybe it was a 4. I don't remember. But Mike has been dealing with some internet issues, so he is literally on his way in. He's probably in the car right now screaming at the radio or the traffic, probably. But he'll be in just a little bit. Meanwhile, we've got a lot to get to here on the program. Good night. Well, sort of. For the Hawks and Atlanta United, it was. Not so much for the Braves. And I got to ask you guys this as we get the show started today. We'd love to hear from you. As always, we love the interaction. At Mike Bell, ATL, I'm at Put 'em Up. See, Dukes, the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929 and this radio station 929 The Game. Braves fans, I got a question for you. And Hawks fans, I got a question for you. Braves fans continue to ask what's going on with this offense. We haven't been scoring like we, I guess, were used to last year. And that's true. I mean, listen, Adam Duvall came back last night and wrecked the Braves. We all knew that he could hit. We all knew what Adam Duvall was. But they didn't want to re-sign him for the money, guys. And he was going to go to get a chance to go down and play with the Marlins and be more of a part of everyday guy. I mean, the bottom line is Adam Duvall took the best deal that was on the table. And after last night, when you see him, you know, 2 home runs, 7 RBI, you go, Yes, I understand, Braves fans. We all wanted Adam Duvall back. I like what we've got on the bench. I like Adoranza. I like Sandoval on the bench. I think we're going to be okay. But when these things play out the way they did last night, you kind of look and you go, oh, Alex made a mistake. Anthopoulos blew this. Here's what happened last night. Max Fried was terrible. We love him. We think he's going to be a stud. He already is. But every now and then, whether you're Glavin, Smoltz, every now and then, you have a bad outing. And last night, Max Fried had his worst. When you talk about 8 runs, 7 earned in just 4 innings. And then, oh, by the way, you know, he stays in, gets a hit, he's on base, he's going from second to third, and my hammy! So now we're waiting to hear what the deal is with his hamstring, which is terrible news because we're already wondering when we're going to see Soroka. And hopefully, knock wood, Fried's going to be okay. But he had a terrible outing. And it's starting pitching doesn't give you a chance. Last night it did not. Braves lose 14-8, third straight loss. So not a great night at the ballpark. Meanwhile, the Hawks are on the road without Trae Young, and they pick up another W. So what is it about the Braves and the offense, or are you more concerned about the pitching? Because for me, I'll be honest, I think the offense is going to come. These guys are too talented. 2 through 6, whether it's Freddie, Albies, whether it's Ozuna, it doesn't matter. All of these guys eventually are going to be hitting. And the thing about baseball is you would love everybody to be hitting at the same time, but it rarely happens. It rarely happens. So as hot as Acuna is, he will cool off at some point. Freddie will continue to do what he does. But you want consistency. And that's something we just haven't seen here early on in the season. But this is a super small sample space, guys. It's 162 games. So I'm not going to get overly excited about what the offense isn't compared to last year. What I am worried about and what I think you guys should be asking is, what's the deal with the starting pitching? Now, Charlie Morton goes tonight, and I trust what I've seen with Charlie Morton, but Smiley has seemed shaky here. Mike's brought that up a couple of different times. You get a bad start from Max Fried. There's no Soroka in this rotation. I mean, let's be honest. The best thing that happened this last week was Yanoa, and he's not even a regular starter. So, yes, the offense is dipping. Runners in scoring position, 26 right now in the league, 19th in OPS, and then you talk about runs per game. Well, we're also 19th in the league. Now, we are hitting home runs. We're fifth. Fifth in the league in home runs. And that's partly due to what Acuna's been doing, but and Freddie. But at the end of the day, this offense is not producing like it was at the end of last year. So I get those concerns. I'm more concerned about, God forbid, Max Fried now with a hamstring, Soroka still out, and the uncertainty. And I say that hoping for the best of what Smiley's going to be. Is he going to be a stud? Is he going to be a guy that you know, when he runs out there now, you know, 2 months from now, we're going, oh, God, here. Because he hasn't given us any confidence? 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. However you're accessing the show today, thank you for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station. It's number one sports show, Dukes and Bell, on Odyssey.com, where you can get all your digital audio, your live on-demand podcasts, and, of course, listen to all of our wonderful shows. The Hawks, on the other hand, let me ask you this. When are you going to buy in? When are you going to buy in? What is it going to take for you to buy in? Last night, they're on the road against a good Toronto team with no Trae Young. By the way, seven players missing. And they came back the other night in Charlotte and did the same thing. Except last night, I thought, you know, the game was in control for the most part until the end, which got crazy. But when are you going to buy in? Capella, 19 points, 21 boards. Bogey, 23 points. Brandon Goodwin. Yeah, he's been a big help off the bench. 18 points. You guys, I don't know what Hawks fans are waiting for to say. This is a really good team. The crazy thing is we haven't even seen our full complement of players. We will at some point here in the next few weeks. I really believe that we're going to get a chance. DeAndre Hunter's coming back. Reddish is working his way back. We still haven't seen Chris Dunn, but you talk about the injuries to John Collins. We don't even have our full complement of players. And yet, we're playing this well. So Trey was out because of a left calf injury. And then you talk about, you know, the Hawks last night. The play of the night was the Solomon Hill pass at the end of the half to Kevin Huerter. If you missed it, it was incredible. I mean, literally one of those things like you just go, all right, I'm going to throw it up. You catch it and put it in and don't dribble, don't do anything. And literally that's what happened. I mean, it was a perfect pass. Huerter lays it up into the first half. Hawks go in the half. 66-54, they're leading, and they never really looked back. I mean, it got dicey at the end, but they shot 53% in the first half. So, Braves fans are worried about the offense. I'm worried about the pitching. Hawks fans are like, yeah, we all right, but they don't believe that we're good. When are you going to buy in, and what is your concern with the Braves? I think the starting pitching has to be something that you got to look at right now. Now, in a month from now, we'll see where we're at. Maybe Soroka's back mid-May. Who knows? But if he's not, you're counting on and asking guys that, again, we saw at the end of last season, whether it's Ian Anderson or Bryce Wilson, to really step their game up and give us a couple of starts, maybe more than that, depending on these injuries, and kind of carry us. And it's only important because if the Braves are not going to continue to hit, which they aren't, they're going to hit. But runners in scoring position is a big one. And one of the things we loved about last year's squad, every year is different, is they were clutch. But they're only hitting, what, 188 with runners in scoring position right now? That's not going to get it done. I mean, this was a 282, almost 285, I think, team last year, somewhere around there with runners in scoring position. It's a big difference. So, Braves, good night. Nah, check that. Terrible night for the Braves. Good night for the Hawks. And how about Atlanta? Chris, this is where you go. United. Atlanta!
United!
Thank you. They advance in CONCACAF. I mean, guys, 1-0 last night. Jorgen Dom with the goal. Go! I mean, a great assist from Barco. It was just, it was fun to watch. Here's the thing, and I think Mike and I were talking about this before we came on today. I think that we are going to be back to what we saw in 17 and 18. Now, will we be as good? Don't know. But this attacking style, what Hines is trying to do, our manager, I really believe that that's what we're going to see a lot more of. And I think last night, with the adjustment when he puts in Dom into the game, you know, after the first half there, I thought it was a great adjustment. And he talked about wanting the offense and the triangle a part of the formation on the right side to be more active. And it's exactly what happened. So if you are a soccer head, or even if you're not, you like Atlanta United, you know Mike and I are season ticket holders. We watch, we care, and we talk about Atlanta United like we do all of our teams, because it is a team that has brought a championship to our city. Good to see fans in the stands last night. That was kind of cool up in Kennesaw as well. So Atlanta United advances to the quarterfinals of Champions League. It's cool because the only team in its current tournament form that has advanced since they started doing it this way is LA Galaxy. So we'll see. They potentially, I think they're going to play between April 17th and April 28th, somewhere around there. We'll get the exact dates, times, all that's still yet to be determined. But a great win last night for Atlanta United. Hawks look good. Atlanta United look good.
I think we need to hear that play you were talking about, Carl, from last night. That dime across the floor, Kevin Herter finishing. Red
unbelievable.
Velvet. Silky smooth. Let's hear it on the Hawks Radio Network.
4 seconds to go in the quarter. Ball knocked away from Siakam. He shoots baseline and hits with 0.6 seconds left. And that'll be the end of the first half. Wait a minute. They got it to Kevin Herter. He laid it in. Oh, my God. Solomon Hill threw it down the floor. I don't know if it's going to count or not. I think it will.
Yes.
Yes, it was. Kevin Herter scores. And the Toronto Raptors went to sleep there. And what a pass from Solomon Hill.
It really was. By the way, bang, the voice of our Atlanta Hawks, Steve Holman, set to join us at 3:20. We will dive in as well into the second pro day of Justin Fields. You guys know, the first time I saw him, the first pro day, I said, I think I saw a quarterback. Nothing's changed. Today, I think he has a chance to impress Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, who now draft in front of us with the 49ers. And if they are truly sold on Mac Jones, who? Mac Jones, then this is just about evaluating the talent level of Justin Fields. But he could change some minds today. And you know, again, I love it when guys go, well, you know, they know who they're going to go with. Do they? I'm willing to bet half these teams right now, especially in the top 10, are still going back and forth in these meetings about where they want to go. I include the Falcons in that. And they are there today. So we're going to get a chance to talk to a former linebacker at the Ohio State coming up at 4:20, Joshua Perry. He joined us a couple of different times here throughout the course of the year. Our man Connor Riley at 4 o'clock to talk some dogs. G-Day on Saturday. It is a busy, busy show. Braves fans, what are you thinking? And I'm not asking you if you're worried, because it's way too early in the season. But this offense has got to get going, and I am concerned, not worried, about the starting pitching. Hawks fans, get on board, man. We got a really good team. Once we get all our components, I think we're going to be dangerous in these playoffs. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's give you a chance to win some money right now. Destiny. Destiny is the word. D-E-S-T-I-N-Y. Destiny. Text it to 72881. That's 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. One winner will be chosen among all national entries. Message and data rates do apply. And please don't text and drive. Make sure you're locked in to 92.9 The Game every day from 7A to 5P. We'll give you another chance at 5:20. But we'll give you another chance next hour as well if you don't win. But maybe you win right now. Text Destiny to 72881. And visit 92.9thegame.com for all the rules. Hey, man, coming up, we got a lot more to get into. Mike will join the program, and we'll break down some of the things that happened last night in our headline segment next. It is Dukes and Bell. So Mike's on his way in. As we said, he had some internet issues, so he got caught up in – and if you're on 85, I guess, coming into the city – I'm not laughing. If you can hear my voice, you're probably going to be like, what? You're telling me now? I'm not sure of all the details, because my phone rang literally in the break, and all I got was, boop, 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 because that was Mike cussing. Because he's like, what is going traffic's not moving. So apparently, like, some sign fell on the freeway, and so everybody's being detoured. And so Mike's like, I don't even know where I am right now. I don't even know where I am. I don't know where this is going to lead me. So he's in a good mood. So he'll be in shortly, and we'll join the show. But you guys know this, man. And I will say this, Chris. I know you're fairly new to the ATL. I've lived in other big cities here in our country where traffic is an issue, and everybody always thinks in their city it's the worst. Oh, terrible in Dallas. Oh, the traffic in L.A. Everybody, no matter where you live, everybody thinks the traffic is – you've been in Miami? So, you know, I moved here, and everybody, oh, Atlanta's the worst. And there are times. The thing I have an issue with, since Mike, you're on your way in, the thing I have an issue with is, who was the damn engineer that said, I'm going to run both major interstates right through downtown? Who did that? And why? And why haven't we built more roads, all right, to accommodate the growing population of our wonderful city? There's a couple of things that happened. Atlanta just exploded after the 96 Olympics. We all know that. I got friends that were here in 96. They were like, there was before the Olympics and then there was after. And the city did not do enough, okay? I'm not talking about the current folks in office. This goes back 30 years now. Didn't do enough at the time to go, some forward thinking. You know what? City's going to grow, man. We're going to see an influx of population. I bet we should add some roads. Nobody did that. You know, MARTA, expand it. No. Come on, let's expand MARTA. Never. Put MARTA in the burbs. Never coming to Cobb. Okay. So that didn't happen. And then, you know, the 75-85 thing, I never understand that. And I don't care. We work in Midtown. I don't care what day it is. I don't care what time it is. And if you've lived here long enough, you guys know this. You get on the connector, good night. I mean, it's just going to be a wait. I mean, it's rare. I mean, it's maybe like 2 a.m. And even then, I've gotten caught. 2 a.m., you're driving, and you're like, why is there traffic? So I feel
Hold up, Carl. What are you driving out of Midtown at 2 a.m. for?
No, like coming back from an event or something.
Uh-huh.
Or being out having a good time.
I think you just got caught.
Oh, come on, man. Just having a good time, you know, coming back to the house, whatever. But yeah, that's like the only time. So I feel for Mike, but I also will say this. I say all that to get to this. With the pandemic, I got to be honest. And I know it was bad and you know, all the things that go with it. I don't miss the traffic. I don't miss having to deal with that every day. And I remember people asking me, like, oh, you drive to work? Because Mike had he was fortunate prior to moving out to where he is now. He used to walk to work. And we used to, you know, he would make fun of us because literally he could leave his, you know, his condo or whatever and be at work. And Chris, you're in this same predicament now, right? It takes you how long to get to work?
It is a 20-minute walk.
Okay. And do you walk or do you drive? What do you
do? I walk every day. I don't even have a car.
Okay. So, see? So Mike is like, yeah, and I forget what the walk was. He'll tell us when he gets in. Maybe it was 12 minutes or something like that down to 7th. But so he'd walk, you know, and I'd be like PO'd, and I'd come in. What's wrong? Damn traffic. And I'd be hot because it just elevates your blood pressure. It just does. So it's not that you're fussing with anybody. It's just the rigmarole of every day being in it. And so, you know, he'd make fun of me. Oh, I've walked to work. And now the shoe is on the other foot. So, enjoy, my man. Enjoy. We'll see you in just a little bit. It's Dukes and Bell, Chris Behind the Glass, Bo Morgan, our executive producer. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Hawks were shorthanded, but it didn't matter. They found a way to get it done. And what about Bogdanovich? He's been playing crazy. Clint Capella, as we mentioned, guys, 19 points, 21 rebounds. And Nate McMillan said the effort during these wins, this is what you're going to need.
It's really been a team effort. You know, these guys have you know, found ways to win games when we've had, you know, the number of injuries that we've had. And we really feel that we have a chance if we play the game the right way. And they are playing the game the right way.
Well, that's obvious. It was good to see Trey just having fun last night. He did not play again. He had that injury that happened last Friday, actually, is when they're saying it happened. But he was held out last night, and he's dealing with the left calf injury. But hopefully he's ready for Wednesday or Thursday's game against Milwaukee. And speaking of that, it's a unity night, guys. The Hawks are proud to honor the life and legacy of Dr. King. with this season's MLK Nike City Edition uniforms and matching court at State Farm Arena. You can join the Hawks for Unity Night. Just go to hawks.com/tickets. Learn more about Unity Nights. They've got, as Steve Coonan told us, 10, I think, on the books this year. I think this is our second, maybe our third, but they're really cool. Always come back right here to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game for all the info. Brian Snicker was talking about Max Fried. The numbers were not good. 9 hits, 7 earned runs, 4 innings. He only threw 86 pitches. Snit, what'd you think?
Yeah, it's just something he's going to have to work through. You know, get aggressive, be on the attack. This stuff's too good to, you know, I mean, he's giving the hitters too much credit, you know, because this stuff's good. And I think he just needs to be aggressive and trust his stuff.
See, that's why I'm worried about the pitching. I'm not worried about Fried per se. I'm not going to pick on one or two guys, even though you could, because it was a bad outing. And that's what I'm going to chalk it up to. But what Snicker just said, play that again for me. Talking about trusting your stuff, being aggressive. Guys, in Major League Baseball, when you go through the league the first time and people really are not familiar with you, it's easier. But once people, and this is why these great pitchers, we've seen them here in Atlanta. I just mentioned Smoltz and Glavine, you know, and the Hall of Famers that we have had here in our city. The great part of what made them great was that guys knew what to expect, and they still got guys out. Guys knew what they were going to throw. They still got guys out. And play Brian Snicker again. Trusting your stuff, being aggressive. See, that's something that not only Max Fried's got to do, I got to see that from Soroka when he gets back.
Yeah, it's just something he's going to have to work through. You know, get aggressive, be on the attack. This stuff's too good to, you know, I mean, he's giving the hitters too much credit. You know, because this stuff's good. And I think he just needs to be aggressive and trust his stuff.
Polls up at Dukes and Bell 929. What is your level of concern with the Braves starting pitching for the A? You can hit us up. Dukes and Bell 929. Very concerned. Wow, 34% of the people already voted very concerned. 50% of the people say slightly concerned. 16% of the folks already say, nah, not at all. It's too early. We will see. Braves back in action tonight against the Marlins. We'll talk more about that coming up at 5:40 as we go around the yard. Everybody's looking forward to the draft. Today, another pro day for Justin Fields. And all the teams that are interested or at least linked to him in some way, shape, or form, we don't know who's going to get him, is there. 49ers, even the Patriots are there today. So, you know, we talked about the Falcons, the Broncos are there, everybody that might want to make a run at Justin Fields. So Maurice Jones-Drew talked about the 49ers and what he thinks they should do when it comes to Justin Fields.
Yes, Justin Fields goes to San Fran. If San Fran's in win-now mode and if Jimmy Garoppolo can't get you over the hump, why not go get a guy who's played in multiple big games, has multiple starts, and has been the top quarterback since high school, right? So he has that pedigree of being a five-star recruit in high school, goes to Georgia, doesn't work out, goes to Ohio State, takes his team to the national championship game, and he plays in the big game. To me, it just only makes sense that Justin Fields is the guy here for the Niners.
Thanks to the NFL Network for that audio of Maurice Jones-Drew. When he talks about Garoppolo, you know, not being able to get you over the hump, well, that's obvious. They wouldn't have made this move. I just think they want insurance while whoever they're going to draft gets a chance to learn. And if that's Mac Jones, he'll be learning until it gets to a point where if it's so bad, Garoppolo, let's just say, you know, he throws 3 or 4 picks in a 2-week period and blows games. I don't think Kyle Shanahan is not going to allow whoever they're picking at 3 now to get his feet wet. The only way you get better in the NFL is you play. So, you know, people talk about these situations. Well, Aaron Rodgers, he sat on the bench. Yes, he did. Pat Mahomes didn't start immediately. You're absolutely right. But if I'm picking a guy this early, I would want him to play. And I just think that is the key for me when we talk about the Falcons. If you're going to say, well, he'll be on the bench for 2 years? That's a long time. 2 years? What were you doing 2 years ago? I mean, if you told me for a season, okay, not 2 seasons. That's just too much.
How about Fields to Kittle? That'd be one hell of a combination.
Oh, man. Listen, and the thing about Fields in that offense, and I've known Kyle Shanahan prior to him coming here. He was the youngest offensive coordinator in NFL history when he was named that with the Houston Texans. Obviously worked for Kubiak, whose dad he worked for, Shanahan. And Kyle, with that kind of mobility at quarterback, Chris, forget about it. Because the offense is predicated on timing and setting you up with bootlegs and running and play action. But if you got that added to that mix, that's a whole other element you got to prepare for, which is we'll see if they decide to go that way. But I also really believe that they do like Mac Jones. Hey, big shout out to Atlanta United. They advance to the quarters in Champions League. We'll talk more about that as well on the way. When we come back, should young professional athletes know their history? As one former general manager said, do your research. It's next. You know, traffic had to be bad if Mike Bell turned around and tried to go back home and said, screw it, which is exactly what he just did. Welcome, bro. What's going on?
All right, man. Let's see if New Link can hold on for 4 hours here and we can get the show through. Oh, dude, what a scene. What a scene on 85 South, or northbound, I should say, heading from the South. Ay, ay, ay.
I was trying to explain to our listeners. So a sign fell?
Yeah, apparently, according to, I guess, the DOT sign that said a sign on the roadway. So I talked to a trucker who's next to me. I want to say hi to Mac, who's working for Old Dominion, who was on the CB. He got, give me a breaker, what's going on? And apparently a sign between, I guess, Flat Shoals Road and I guess where the 285 is, fell on the roadway. And I guess they're just trying to figure out how to get it off the highway. Wow. And so everything was backed up. So I got off, and when I spoke with you just about 10 minutes ago, yeah, it told me my estimated time of arrival at our studios would have been 4:30. So I said, well... says to myself, self. So I just doubled back, and I'm here at the house, and we'll see. And at 4 o'clock, if my wife has a big video conference for work, and again, we can appeal folks in Coweta County to please not use Wi-Fi for at least 3 or 4 hours. Carl, I think we can get through this.
All right, fair enough. Well, it's good to know you're all right. Listen, but I know, bro, how you can go from 0 to 100 fairly quick.
But you know me on road rage, and you've been there. There's nothing more. You want to feel powerless when you're in between exits. And it's just a dead stop. You know what I mean? And it's just nothing. And there's nowhere to go. And you just got to sit there and deal with it. But my sympathies, I was texting back and forth on Twitter with a couple of listeners, Carl, that were about a mile or two behind me. But it's just a big bank of red on 85 South. It's just a tough part of town to get around until you get to 285 as far as alternate routes.
Franco says, yeah, Mike, Dukes, I'm stuck in it right now. So, Franco, we'll just turn the radio up and chill. Hey, man.
So we'll see if we get through it, brother. So I did it. It was funny. I always get a kick out of listening to you when I'm not there because I heard you talking about, oh, yeah, you used to have a nice cushy 7-block walk to work.
It's true. I used to make fun of us, man. It was funny because you were like, well, I'm in a good mood. I just walked to work. I have to deal with that. And I'd come in and I'd be like, I left the house at 11. It's now 1. And I'm just now getting here. And I'd be like Clint Eastwood. You know, you
right. Right. Right, right. No, today I was more like Michael Douglas in Falling Down. But no, but it's just, like I said, it's a great area for traffic-wise, but this one was an all-timer. So I went all angry man on Twitter about everybody and everything. So there you go. Right, it's cathartic, though, when you're stuck in traffic. You start screaming at people on Twitter. I guess that's all you can do.
Well, you know, you're not moving. You might as well join the party. All hey, right. There is something I do want to play for our listeners because I asked the question, Mike, and this I think you'll get a kick out of this. If young professional athletes should know their history. And when I say that, I'm not talking about world history or United States history. I'm talking about sports history, like right. Iconics, guys, and names. And so I'm going to play something for you, but I did want to get your take, because Mike's just jumping on with us, about what went down last night. Because as I said, Hawks, great night. Atlanta United, great night. Braves, not so much. Did his signal just lose out?
Nope, I'm sorry. I was just taking a drink of water, actually. But it's good to know I'll have alcohol as an option. Dude, when are the Braves going to get into gear? I mean, you and I talked about this back in, I guess, opening weekend. They were not hitting the ball in spring training, mm-hmm. right? They just weren't. And now, I said to Carl today, we were talking on our show meeting, maybe we're going to be, and I hate to say it, a little bit like the Nationals 2 years ago. You know how they got on a really slow roll and it took them a while and then they finally started getting cranked up? We know this lineup is potent. Ozuna's not going to be this bad all season long. I mean, we can, you know, fret about not having Adam Duvall. Where was Adam Duvall going to be, Carl? He's going to be on the bench, right?
Right.
I mean, you're not going to put Acuna in center and, Duvall in right. I mean, Pache time to shine, et cetera. But it just, you wonder when you can't count on a guy, unfortunately right now, you know, one of our young starting pitchers that we have, you know, so much confidence in, Max Fried, it really does kind of, you know, put you at a loss because this team is better than this. And I think that, you know, people are prisoner of the moment. We're not even, what are we at, 1/16th of the season right now? Yes. So I think there's some need for perspective, but the Braves just don't pass the eye test right now.
Speaking of Pache, he is on the IL, the injured list, 10 days. It was a growing tightness last night that took him out of the game. And if you're watching late, you know, I saw it when it happened. Like, literally, he came back to the dugout and it was like, you're done. And so he went in the tunnel, and then next thing you know, after the game, they're talking about possibly putting him on the injured list. So that is actually happening. I haven't seen the corresponding move. Chris, have they announced what the corresponding move is going to be?
I'll check for you right now.
Okay. So, you know, they have to bring somebody up. They've got a few options, but not many. Right. With outfielders. So we'll see where that goes.
But all the things that were supposed to be strengths are now kind of like coming up little like snake eyes for the Braves, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's – you watch right now and you go, this is not the team we saw at the end of last season. But you could say that about a lot of teams right now.
And here's the update for you, Carl. I got it. Okay, so the Braves today placed outfielder Christian Pache, strain left groin, and left-handed pitcher Max Fried, strain right hamstring, on the 10-day IL. Recalled outfielder Guillermo Heredia and left-handed pitcher Tucker Davidson to Atlanta.
All right. Heredia was a guy that made sense last night. I think they were talking about that. So there it is. And I started the show, Mike, talking about Max Fried. Mm. I am concerned about this starting pitching. And I don't know how you couldn't be when last year it was all about Fried and Soroka. Soroka is yet to pitch, and now Fried's on the 10-day IL. Come on.
You know, maybe we got to blame Cole Hamels for this. Didn't they commiserate when he was around the Braves? Maybe Cole Hamels was the one who got in his ear and said, you know, sometimes, you know, pitching to contact isn't the worst thing, right? That's a phrase that's come up about Max Fried. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yes, you're going to add pitches to your repertoire. I thought, you know, Tom Glavine hit it on the head last night. It's almost like there's something that's just out of sync. Did he put too much thinking or too much? Did he overwork it in spring training? Because, you know, it's very frustrating. And now you said it. We need pitchers to go deep. We need Charlie Morton to give you 7 innings tonight, you know. Or if the pitch count is high, I think, you know, Snicker, let him pitch through it, okay, pal? Because the bullpen needs a rest. And now, again, I said at some point we're going to depend on Kyle Wright. Now you're going to get your chance, Kyle Wright. Other guys will have to step up if Fried's going to be out for at least 2 starts.
Yeah, but see, this gets back to Yanoa and his start the other night. That was one that you should have gotten. You know, that was those games where you're getting certainly unexpected expectations out of one of these guys. Let him go. Let him go. That's what we need right now. So the poll is up, by the way, at Dukes and Bell 929 about the Braves. So there it is. The news we kind of been waiting for, and I wasn't sure about Fried. I wasn't sure if he was going to go on the IL, but he is. Tucker Davidson, left-handed pitcher, being called up. More on the Braves coming up as we make our way through the show. All right, real quick, I want to play the soundbite because it hits home. You guys know Ant-Man. Ant-Man went to the University of Georgia. He was the #1 overall pick by the T-Wolves. T-Wolves have been bought. And when Anthony Edwards was asked about who was buying them, and specifically a guy named Alex Rodriguez. Listen to this.
Do you have any thoughts about him? Are you an A-Rod fan at all growing up or anything like that? What you think about what he might bring to the team?
A fan? What do you mean? Like, who is he?
The baseball player, Alex Rodriguez?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Okay.
I know he's going to be the owner, but I don't know nothing about baseball.
Hey, man. He's in his lane, Carl.
He said he didn't know who he was.
Well, again, I was talking about this last night with Andy Bunker. Baseball players are kind of in a cocoon. I mean, every sport has its kind of blinders on. NBA is like a whole other level of cocoon with even having the bubble they went in last year. I mean, look, if you have a specific skill set, whether it's a kid who's on a traveling team in Little League or an AAU basketball player who's playing hoops 12 months out of the year, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to tell you other than A-Rod didn't cross over into his consciousness, which, you know, can we be honest? Is that a bad thing?
No, it's not. I mean, I think it's an age thing, and I may be wrong, and this is why we're talking about this.
I think it's an oblivious thing in this generation. I think Bryson DeChambeau is a perfect example. He's so oblivious to all things around him, he doesn't realize what a spectacle he makes of himself from time to time.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if you asked Anthony Edwards, do you know who J-Lo is, would he have said, oh, yeah. See, I think
right. It's about the phrasing, right?
And
the
but also when you say it's an age thing, or is it a cultural thing where you go, there are things like.
Or he just didn't give a crap about baseball, which, guess what?
Well, maybe
how many kids in the inner city give a crap about baseball? Because baseball's done a piss-poor job of reaching out to them and making them invited into their game. That's why minority participation is so down right now.
Well, I don't know if that's the case. He just said, I'm not a baseball fan, and that's fine. But I'm shocked that, again, you don't have to be a baseball fan. These names cross over. They transcend their sport. Alex Rodriguez got $250 million, and the world lost their mind. But again, you go, well, how old was Anthony Edwards at the time? He was just 19 when he was the number one overall pick. So, you know, I mean, A-Rod's been retired since 2016. So if you go back and go, all right, A-Rod, when he gets that deal with the Rangers, was he even born? So that is part of it.
So should we not try to look at this as socioscientists and try to figure out what the culture issues are or whatever? Or just say maybe he's just a dumb jock and he doesn't give a crap about baseball. Or he just, again, as you said, if you asked about J-Lo, that's J-Lo's boyfriend. He would have gone, oh, we like Anthony. We had him on the show a year ago. Seems like a nice kid. But, I mean, let's be honest. Some guys are they know what they know, and other guys are happy to not know what they don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I just think –
Who is he?
You're the number one overall pick in the NBA. And this, again, I think it speaks to age. I don't know. You guys tell us, 404-741-0929, because there are other pop cultural stars and phenomenons that he may be aware of at 19 that he's not aware of other things. So, you pay attention to what you pay attention to. But you're the number one draft pick in the NBA. You don't know who A-Rod is?
All right, I'm a sports talk radio host. I'm 52. I didn't know who Malachi Flynn was until last night watching the Hawks.
Well, I don't know if a lot of people know about that.
I'm saying it's all relative.
Yeah, Mike knows who that is. Chris, ask him. He knows who that is.
Mike, do you know who either Da Baby or Lil Baby is?
I'm going to guess they're in the hip-hop game.
Yeah, see?
Well, that was just, I mean, that's a broad umbrella. I just kind of threw it out there.
It really is, but I mean, yes. But yeah, man, it's interesting. You guys can hit us up. We got plenty more to get to, guys. Coming back, we're going to get to an NFL blitz. We got a bunch of guests to stop by today, too. We've been talking about it. Coming up next hour, we're going to get a chance, not next hour, 4 o'clock. Connor Riley is going to join us. Joshua Perry, from a former player at Ohio State, to talk about Justin Fields' pro day. Also, we'll talk to Steve Holman coming up next hour about the Hawks. It's Dukes and Bell.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.